The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. There's something I'm sure you've often seen in the world of sports. A baseball player is about to come up to bat, or a basketball player is about to shoot a free throw, or a boxer comes out to the call of the bell. And what we see is they make the sign of the cross. When I see that, I say to myself, they must be Catholic. But it's true that not only Catholics make that sign, so also do many Orthodox, Anglicans, Lutherans, and other Christian denominations. There's something very distinctive about making the sign of the cross. It's a sign of faith, especially faith in what we are celebrating today, the Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the most simple ways of expressing our faith in God, a God who is the Father who created us, a God who is the Son who redeemed us, a God who is the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. One God, three persons. The longer way of expressing that faith is in the creed that we say every Sunday after the homily. I believe in one God. One God, but then in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. An early Christian writer named Tertullian described how common the sign of the cross was in his lifetime in about the mid-third century. He wrote, "We Christians wear out our foreheads with the sign of the cross. In all our travels and movements, in all of our comings and goings, putting on our clothes, at the table, lighting our candles, lying down, sitting down, whatever employment occupies us, we mark our foreheads with the sign of the cross." And many of us do that in similar ways. Around the 9th century, the sign of the cross was incorporated into the Mass at the beginning, then at the threefold signing of the forehead, the lips, and the heart at the reading of the Gospel, and then at the end of Mass as a blessing. The early instructions for how to make the sign of the cross appeared about the 400s, when there was a heresy, and this was meant to counteract that, a heresy that denied the two natures in Jesus, the human and the divine natures, in the one divine person of Jesus Christ, and that thereby denied the unity of the Holy Trinity. The sign of the cross was made from forehead to chest, and then from right shoulder to left. But in the instructions, the thumb and the forefinger and the middle fingers were held together to symbolize the Holy Trinity, and in such a way that they expressed the Greek abbreviation for Jesus Christ Savior, which was IXC. So the first finger indicated the I, the next finger crossed the thumb to indicate the X, but it also made a C. Then the other two fingers represented the two natures in Christ, the human and the divine, and they were joined to the palm, which signified their unity in the divine person of Christ. So the sign of the cross was made this way, and it still is made that way in many of the Eastern Orthodox churches, as well as in the Eastern rites of the Catholic Church. In the 9th century, Pope Leo IV gave an alternative to the Western Church, that the sign could be made with two fingers touched together to symbolize the two natures of Christ, and then touching the thumb to symbolize the one person. But it was still made from the right shoulder to the left until Pope Innocent III in the 13th century allowed the change of making the sign from the left shoulder to the right in the Latin Rite. And we've been doing that ever since. And we use the full hand in making the sign of the cross today. That's why we make the sign of the cross from birth to death. We mark little infants on their forehead with the sign of the cross at baptism. We bless our dead with the sign of the cross at their death. We do that because that sacred sign reminds us that it's the cross, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, which brings us the life of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, makes us God's sons and daughters. The sign of the cross was probably our first introduction to God as children. It was probably one of the first religious gestures we ever learned to make as a child. That sign taught us that God, our God, is a God of love, a God of relationships, a family God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who invite us to become part of God's family by sharing God's life with us so that we can reflect that love in all of our relationships. So much is said in that simple sign of the cross. That may be the easiest way, too, to celebrate this feast today, this feast of the Holy Trinity. Rather than try to dig deeply into the theology of this great mystery, just try to make the sign of the cross reverently today. Every time you use it, here in the Mass, when we come into church, or as you will leave it this morning, before and after your meals, or when you bless your family today, it will connect you to our family of faith all down through the centuries that have used that sign of the cross to express their faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's really a mini creed. That really is the end of the homily. But there's another practice we have every Sunday of reciting the entire creed that expresses our faith. This has been handed down to us through the centuries to give us a more theological expression of our faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's really a Trinitarian formula structured around the Trinity. So today, I'd like to give a special prominence, and rather than have you say it as we usually do together, I ask you to say it reverently in your heart, as I will say it slowly with a brief explanation of how that simple, how that this creed expresses our faith in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So please rise. That's the basic truth. There is only one God, but we then express our faith in the three persons in this one God. First, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. Next, the second person, Jesus. Here, the key word is consubstantial, which means Jesus Christ is the same nature as God, divine, or of one being with the Father. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became a man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Finally, we express our faith in the Holy Spirit. The key words here are, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, which makes the Spirit of equal nature with them. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We then express all that flows from what we have said. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.